Well, for Lee and his family, Garrett, wife and kids.
Rowan's got a bit of a cough, and we're just praying it's just the allergies.
Well, I think the big part is that what they're spraying in the skies. Yesterday was terrible. Kenna, pray for Dee. Well, I know our little church has sure been hammered more ways than one. What else do you guys have? For Kenna and her physical ailments. Nobody else? All right, remember your ministry of praying for the church and giving, and let's bow for silent prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your grace and for including us in your plan. And we just pray that we'd be blessed this morning, both spiritually and physically, for everything you can pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are on lust. And I can't remember exactly which one. I think we had to be loved, which is a normal human problem. But we're talking about the flesh. And people say, well, what's wrong with loving somebody or being loved? It's a craving of the flesh nature. We're talking about how the flesh operates as versus how the spiritual life operates. Number 18 was to be happy, a pleasant emotion. And again, there's a difference between spiritual joy and personal happiness. Personal happiness is a concept found in the flesh. If it's something an unsaved person can do or have, then it's not spiritual. So the problem with that is it's fleeting and it's dependent upon external circumstances. You can be going through a terrible time in your life and have moments of pure joy. Because joy is not dependent upon getting the pay raise or hitting the lottery or finding good news from your doctor. That's just something that's a part of the flesh nature. Just like loving, the desire to be loved, husband, wife, kids, that idea. Instead of being loved, what should the Christian be doing? Loving. It's a verb. You love. And you love with a spiritual love. And a spiritual love of agape is not an emotional love. It has nothing to do with the emotions. It's not based upon the character of the person that you're loving or your relationship with them. It's based upon your character, your integrity. God loves the world. He doesn't love us because we're sinners or sinful or evil. He loves us because he is love. And an example you can understand it with is the sun's rays. The sun is shining every day, and his rays fall on the just and the unjust because the sun just shines. To have fun, Americans have gone nuts over this business of having fun. You know, having fun is something when you're children. But when you grow up, you got to leave the things of childhood behind. And it's a momentary, pleasant, and exciting feeling derived from stimulus. Number 20, success. Usually the desire to be at the top, money, careers, profession, what have you. Some people are driven by success, others aren't. By the way, you and me will have one or more of these lusts. And we may have the same lusts in common, but then again, we may have different lusts that we're lusting after. And the word lust is just a desire. I want. I want this, I want that. retirement. Scriptures mention that. The desire to be at ease, to no longer have to work. I've had a friend, him and his wife, I can't remember how many years, 60? He retired when he was 45. 45. And we're talking six zeros a year retirement. So he's set for life. He's set for life for going on 40 years. And a lot of people want to retire. So they go up to the lake, go fishing, travel, all things that they want to do. It's to be at ease, to no longer have to work. Another lust is for love and emptiness in the soul, hoping to fill by having someone to love, generally a husband or wife. It hits us when we're young, and it basically stays with us all of our lives. It's I'm guessing it's worse in men than it is in women. Why would that be? Because men have a problem that women don't. We don't want to be alone. It began with Adam. God looked at Adam and said it was not good for him to be alone. So he created a helpmeet for him. Well, women can get away with being alone much easier because they have their kids, grandkids, they have friends and so forth. But men, we want to have a companion with us for life. And, but that's, again, an aching of the flesh. And what is that to be replaced by? If your soul is filled with Christ, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you've got Bible doctrine, and you've reached a level of maturity, then you don't need somebody else in your life. You don't need it. You may want it, but you don't need it. So it's a growth factor. Number 23, missed love. And a lot of people lust after, even though they don't know it. If they go to counseling, they'll probably get it sorted out. But they're longing for the love that they missed out in their childhood. So it could be a longing for a father that you never had, or an absentee father, and you always wanted that. Or could be because of a mother. You know, today the kids don't have either one of the parents at home anymore because they both work, as so much the case is. And they don't have the time or energy to put it in the children because, you know, kids are. They want all this love from mommy. But what they do is they get married later on in life. When they get married, why are they getting married? Well, sometimes because they're horny, they want to have sex, which is again a biological function of the flesh. Other times it's for companionship. Other times it's they're looking for love. Women will do this quite frequently, is that they never got the love in their childhood, so they have children who will provide them the love they missed out on. The problem with that is the children can never replace what you missed out on. What you missed out on was the love of a father or mother. And the problem is you can't go back in time to get it when you needed it. When you needed it was when you were young. So that's why God's grace is enough for us. It isn't what we're looking for, obviously, but you can't get what you're looking for because it doesn't exist. And even if your mom and dad has a good relationship with you as an adult, it can never replace what you missed out on in your childhood. This may not be interesting to you, but you're not going to go into maturity unless you sort this stuff out in your own head. And that's one of the things, is being able to perceive that about yourself acknowledge it to God, and move on. Covetousness is the desire to have more things. But American people, they got more stuff than anybody on the face of the earth. And you would think that that would be enough. But it's not. So they keep wanting more stuff, bigger stuff, better stuff. And they just keep buying, buying, buying. Again, stuff will never fill that hole in your soul. That hole in your soul can only be filled by Christ. And this is what spiritual growth is about. And when you get to these areas and you have Christ replace what you're lacking inside, you're more whole. The whole idea of one of the ways that you can look at your soul is like a big piece of pie. And there's different compartments or sections in our soul. And there'd be a lot more than eight. But these are different parts. And we have voids in each of these places. Voids because of our own flesh natures, because of sin in us. Voids because the people who raised us didn't provide what that area of the soul needed. So we become adults and we have these different compartments of emptiness. So one by one, we have to fill that with the Word of God. One by one. And as you do that, you'll have health and healing. Holokleros is the idea of wholeness. And that means each section must be made complete. It must be made whole. And then, as the whole thing is made whole, you have a state of wholeness. And that's what completion or perfection is about. And if you've been under a doctor for 10, 20 years, you should be along the way of getting this taken care of. So covetousness is the desire to have more things. By the way, you can fill that hole in your soul with things, but it'll never fill it. Number 25, wanderlust. The desire to travel about, to be constantly on the move. And I have no idea, hundreds of thousands, millions of people driving around in their RVs, Winnebagos. And what are they doing? Well, to put it simply, they're running from a feeling or to a feeling. They're running from a feeling of what's going on inside. It's so painful, they keep it buried, and they just go down the long, lonesome highway. And this way they're running from having to feel that feeling, and whatever the feeling may be. Could be childhood abuse, could be a divorce, could be death of a loved one, could be loneliness, who knows? Each person is different. But they're getting in their Winnebago and they're driving from a feeling. Or they're driving to a feeling. I gotta leave here. We're gonna go on down to road to Southern California, found a neat RV park, met the people, really great people. And so now, you've got nirvana ahead of you. It's all going to work out fantastic. But that's called, and it's a German word, and it's the only word that actually defines this concept. Wanderlust. The lust to wander. Aimlessness, yes, but it's running from a feeling. Number 26, bloodlust. A frenzied desire to shed blood, to kill without restraint, generally in a time of war. It's the only time you get away with that. And it's a true thing that, I don't know if it's the smell of the blood, but something takes over some men and they go crazy, lusting after blood. And it becomes a bloodbath, as they would say. And that is, you say, well, that's not my problem. No, thankfully, it's not your problem. But it is a problem with the flesh. Information lust. Well, that's one of my problems. What is information lust? Well, the desire to constantly be accumulating knowledge. Let me ask you a question. Do you get on the computer or your cell phone looking up websites? You do, and I know that. A lot of us do. Even though you know you're going to hear the same old story all over again, you're still looking for information. You want to know the truth. So, but it is a lust. And what is a lust again? It's a desire to know more. But how much of knowledge that we have is true? I'm telling you, this year I've changed my thinking. I realize they've been lying to us all along about just everything. Even the landing on the moon. There's a lot of data out there that shows that they didn't land on the moon. The whole thing was rigged up in a stage. But do your own research. Number 28, technological lust. The desire to absorb oneself into the many forms of technology. And that's PlayStations came out this week, I heard, and like fist fights over it. The latest cell phone that comes out. Everybody wants to be at the edge of, cutting edge of technology. And it's just another lust. So why do we cover this? Well, some of these things do not affect you because you don't do that. But other of these things do. So how do we handle this as believers? Well, you have to see this about yourself. Like, I can admit to you, I have an information lust. I want to know. I do not have a blood lust. You'll be glad to hear. And I think some of us are that way. Wanderlust. I don't have a wanderlust. So you have to pick out what you're guilty of, and then what do we do with that? We have to acknowledge that to God. And we can take the grace options in this. Like success. For those who want to be successful, to get at the top of whatever it is you're involved in. I don't have to worry about that because when God's brought me into His grace plan that He's already chosen the field and the job that He wants me to work at. You see, if you understood grace options, once you opt for grace, then He has everything taken care of. The work you do, the career that you pursue, the field, the town. I don't have to worry about that. It's all in His plan for my life. Another one is financial security. Everybody in America, just about everybody, is after money. And this is so they can feel secure. But under the grace option, God promised to provide all our needs. I don't have to worry about the money. All I have to do is do the work He wants me to do, and that's that. How about searching for love? Trying to find love in the wrong places. Well, God has a husband or wife in store for me, or He doesn't. It's up to Him. Doesn't that make life simpler? I don't have to go out searching for the opposite sex in some bar here in Reading because I'm lonely or depressed or horny or whatever. God has a right woman for me or a right man. You see, we can all go back to the grace option. To have fun or to be happy, God has spiritual joy. To have love, He's provided agape love. He may provide even a rapport love. I love her, She loves me. Oh, how happy we will be. And he may have that in store for you, but he may not. So what do you do if he doesn't provide a significant other? Cry. I think they're missing a point. You live your life with Christ. You're satisfied. Everything can be broken down to the grace option. And in the grace option, these are the 6-7 P's are the new dynamics by which we live our lives. One is God has planned your life out from eternity past. In fact, the Bible teaches that he gives you a spiritual gift to do that. He provides the spiritual enablement so that you can do the plan of God for your lives. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you a new nature. That's all part of the grace option. He gives you a new nature whereby you can please him and want to do his will. So I'm under the plan of God for my life. Even if I make mistakes and go zigging when I should have zagged, he's got me covered under different options. The power of God, this is what's available to you now that you're a believer in Christ. He doesn't have this for the unsaved. They're not under the plan of God. You have to belong to God to be under his plan. The promises of God are for you, not for the unsaved. It can be for them if they do what? It can be for an unsaved person, but they have to do something. They have to exercise their free will and believe on Christ as their Savior. If they do believe on Christ, then all of these things apply to them. The provisions of God. Well, I don't see, if God says to love God, how can he allow this to go on? Well, that's because those people don't belong to him. They don't want him in their lives. Oh, they're quick to blame him, but they have not allowed him to come into their lives because he won't force their will. The provisions of God, God provides, but he provides for his own. And provisions are part of the grace plan of God. Protection. God provides protection for all of his children. But that applies only to those who are his children. Only those who belong to God. The process. See, there's no spiritual growth in their life because there's no spiritual life. And the idea is to become perfected, to become like Christ. But God uses a process he takes us through to become like Christ. And the process for one believer would be different than for another. So that's why you just can't go whining on about you're the only one going through this. And you might be, but it's what you need in your life. And finally, the presence of God. The presence of God is only with believers in Christ. Not for anybody else, just for them. God is with us. He's in our company, all attendant circumstances. But God is more than with us. He's in union with us in that he has a covenant relationship with every believer. That's what you were doing this morning when you partook of the elements. It's a sign of the covenant. Covenant in his blood, it's a new covenant. But more than that, God is actually in us. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. There's not just a union. We are of one body. This goes back to like the wave offering. When the farmer took a sample out of his field, wheat, barley, corn, whatever it was, he'd take and cut it, wrap it, take it down to the temple, and the priest would take that wave of grain and that sheath of grain and wave it over his head. that signified that God accepted his offering. He accepted the produce or what came out of that field. Well, symbolically speaking, what it's referring to is Christ being accepted by God. And Christ was a part of the same field, the same DNA, same strain of corn or barley or wheat or whatever. And for all the rest of us, sheaves of wheat out in the field, we know that we'll be accepted. Why? Why will we be accepted? Because the one sample from the field is Jesus Christ, and the priest accepted it. God accepted that. So that means the rest of the field, wheat, barley, whatever, will be accepted. And we're not talking about corn here. We're talking about people. So because God accepted our Savior, that means that he will accept us as well. And he accepted him, and that was proven by what dramatic act? Well, it was actually twofold. His resurrection from the dead. When he was raised from the dead by the Father, that showed that he accepted him. And it really demonstrated it when he took him up to heaven to his throne and seated him next to him. I don't know what more proof that you need than that. And because our Savior, who we are all one with, has been accepted by God, what does that mean about us? It means that we have been accepted by God at the highest level. Not just allow us into heaven, but to seat us at his right hand. And we are seated at the right hand of God in Christ. Father, we thank you for the study. Pray a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.